Good morning and welcome back. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. I would say this, I would hope we had a joyous Thanksgiving because as we give thanks to the Lord, then I think joy does arise in us. And so I just really am so appreciative that we get to celebrate this, just to remember the importance of it. And today I'm actually going to continue talking a little bit about Thanksgiving, as we've received a couple of questions concerning a verse we looked at last week and another one that we looked at this week, which kind of have caused some people to have some questions and some things that I think we can use Scripture, not just my opinion, but Scripture to come to a satisfactory understanding of it. And really, I think it's a joyful understanding as well. So today I'm going to be talking about ever thankful, just like we did last week, but with this caveat, in everything, for everything. And so I think you'll see the difference in those, but yet I think you'll see the sameness in those as well. So let's start with Colossians 3:16. And in doing so, we will read the scripture that we used last week to open in 16 and 17. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom and teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." That's a key phrase too. "And then whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Now, some of this we talked about last week, but I'm going to emphasize a little differently. I want you to see again in 16 the importance of the Word of Christ, the Word of God, Jesus the Lord himself via the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. That anointed Word, that Word which causes faith to rise up, that Word which is his will for us, and that Word which also gives us the promises that we are to walk in here on the earth. And so, what can this verse produce for us? Well, we know it produces faith, but what else? It will produce thankfulness, it says, when the Word of Christ is dwelling in us actively. Now, I would say this, and I want to put this as clearly as I can. That Word is that which creates gratitude in us so that the last part of that verse can be fulfilled for us giving thanks always to the Father. Now, if it's not this scripture, if it's not spiritual things that puts gratitude or causes gratitude to rise up in us, what will impact those emotions pertaining to that? Or what is countering that? And it's things of this world, things in the darkness of this world. And so I want us to see this, and I'm getting a bit ahead, but it's important to keep that in our mind. And so from this verse last week, we talked about in whatever we do, so this sounds like to me that we're always having this attitude of gratitude, and we're giving thanks to Jesus, who then praises the Father. And so again last week, we made this statement that no matter the circumstances we face, no matter what comes against us, even when things may look bad, we are still to have this attitude of thanksgiving to the Father and to our Lord Jesus. And what produces it? What we know the Word says about who we have become as His born again, new in Christ creation. We looked last week also at 2 Thessalonians 5:18, and this is one of the verses that we'll compare and contrast with another one today. New American Standard in this says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, candidly, this verse has caused questions for a lot of, how can I give thanks in everything? Well, the Amplified gives us a good answer to that. Thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that will. So those are all things that we just talked about. So how can we do this? Because no matter what the circumstances are, this scripture tells us that we can be thankful and give thanks to the Father, and that this is His will for us, that we get so much revelation of the Word. We know so much of His promises, and we take them as absolute truth and things that will manifest in our life. And so it produces then the spirit of thanksgiving. The Passion Translation says a similar thing: in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, because this is God's perfect plan for you. Can I tell you that part of being the perfect plan for us is this thanksgiving will produce results? And maybe in a future session, we'll show you some scriptures where that happens. So, how do we do it? What difference does it make? And it's all because of whom we know, His will for our lives, His Word for us, as we believe in Him and thus His Word. And what do we know? He is good. He is good all the time. And He is good all the time to me. And that ought to be your profession as well. Now, we looked at part of His goodness here last week. And this is the last verse that we'll pick up from last week. Or from not last week, from before Thanksgiving. And it's in 2 Corinthians 2, the 14th verse. But thanks be to God, who always, not sometimes, but who always leads us to triumph in His triumph in Christ. So we're not just triumphing through our own. We're triumphing in His triumph over the enemy. And it manifests in us through the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him. There's that revelation of His Word again as to who we have become in every place. So we can constantly give thanks because we know He is always leading us to triumph. And we have faith that He'll, whatever comes against us, that He has delivered us from that. So that takes away fear. And we're actually going to see that come up in a minute in another verse. Now let's go to the scripture that has created some issues. And it's in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read down through verse 20, which is a verse I want to talk about. But I think it's important to start at verse 15 to get context of what this is talking about. And can I just go ahead and tell you, you're going to see some of the actual phrases in Colossians 3 that in this verse, in this scriptures we're about to read. So you can begin to see how these two verses relate to each other versus being totally different. Now, start in verse 15, and I want to read all the way down through 20, and then we'll go back and talk about each one. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. And why? Because the days are evil. This world we live around, that we live in, around us, is evil. You are the only good on this earth, and me, and all others who believe. It goes on and says, so then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and I would add, for you personally. And where do we get that? Just like we saw earlier, from the Word. Then it says, and don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with His Spirit. And we're to walk by the Spirit. Verse 19 says, as we're walking in this way, we're to speak to one another in psalms and hymn and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord. And in verse 20, always giving thanks, no surprise, for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. So the phrase that we're going to be focusing in on today is this phrase that says, give thanks for all things, versus what we saw in 1 Thessalonians was in all things. Now, I've heard a lot of teaching on this, or a lot of comments on this, this verse, and outside of people who really, I believe, get into the Word and understand and use Scripture to explain Scripture, not use experience to explain Scripture, this has caused a problem for us. Because this phrase, always giving thanks for all things, really has a connotation to many is that we ought to be able to be thankful to God for even the bad things that comes to us, for the evil that comes toward us. And I could not disagree with that statement any more strongly than I do. But I don't want to give you my opinion. Let's look at Scripture and let it explain. So let's go back to verse 16, 15 actually. This tells us to be careful how we walk, not as unwise, but as wise men. Now, where does this wisdom to walk come from? And you could say it comes from the Spirit of God. Yes, but it's the Spirit of God revealing His Word to us. So we're beginning to set context for verse 20. Verse 16 says, make the most of your time because the days are evil. Now, why would he say that? Because evil opposes God's blessing for us. Darkness is the opposite of light. And our enemy wants us to live in darkness. Darkness and not understanding, not having revelation like we're talking about today for these words. Verse 17 then says, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So we say, don't be foolish. I might say, again, as we have seen previously, don't be deceived. Be confident of what God's will is for me in this walk that I'm living in today. And it goes on to really indicate, when it talks about being filled with His Spirit, that's how we are to be led by the Spirit who reveals the Word to us, brings that Word back to mind. He'll also show us things to come so that we live in and from the spirit realm, not our flesh. And when we do that, then when we're led by a spirit, we won't let the circumstances that come against us set the tone for everything that we believe. In this evil world, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. Now, this is important. Why? Because circumstances, the evil that is around us, this is the realm where the devil operates today, dealing with things that we can see, feel, touch, smell, hear. In other words, our senses, this fleshly body. But where did we just see we're supposed to be led from? The Spirit. You know, God deals with us, and this is so important. God deals with us today via His Spirit, via His Word. And that's different from how He had to deal with children of Israel before the cross. He had to deal them with fleshly things. That's why they were punished in the flesh, because He couldn't instruct them in the Spirit and nurture them in that spirit realm. But He's placed His Spirit in us. We are in union with that Spirit. We're joined and united with Him. And thus we can be led spirit to spirit, His Spirit in our spirit. So let's continue on, 19 and 20. And this phrase ought to sound familiar. We just read another version of it. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to God. So you see where the focus is on this verse, not circumstances, but on spiritual things, being led in the Spirit, being led in His promises, receiving all the good that He wants to do for us. And that's what we just saw in Colossians 3:16 as well. And then we come to verse 20, giving thanks for all things. And again, the context that many place it is even the evil things. And you know, God's just got to deal with us, and He used this sickness to help us. Yes, He can turn what was intended for bad. In fact, we'll look at that into good. But this is not saying that we're rejoicing when evil comes upon us. And if we're not rejoicing, and our rejoicing is to be in Him, then we begin to see a little bit of a contrast here. So what does giving thanks for all things really imply? I don't believe it's talking at all about giving any credit to God for something evil that happens. People would say for allowing it. Most of the time, evil comes against us because we live in an evil world and it's there to attack us. We can resist it. As we grow stronger, our words can keep it away, but at times, for all of us, it does impact us. But that is not a time to, I believe, to give God credit for it, and we'll see that further. Now, notice this phrase here, and this really stood out to me in the last day or so as I've been pondering this for over a week now. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Now, in that name, what does it mean? You know, that's where we live from. And if we're giving thanks in His name for something evil, then we're associating God with that evil. And the answer to that question of, is that real? Is that something we should do? Is absolutely not. Because we know that only good things come from God. I mean, that's what we were confessing and talking about others. So, again, we use this a lot of times saying, well, it must have been His will, must have been allowed for the evil. No, no, and no. His will for us is good and only good. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans for you. Plans that are what? Good and not for evil. To give you a hope, a godly hope. So you're beginning to see how what we're talking about in verse 20 cannot apply to things that we give that are bad, evil, that come from the darkness, that we would credit to the name of our Lord. So let's look at some more scriptures, because I think there's so much here that we can do. And I've pulled out three or four, and then we'll look at a couple of others after we talk about these three New Testament scriptures. The first is in Matthew 12, verse 25. It's talking about Jesus, and knowing their thoughts, He said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand." So, if evil produces evil, the devil produces evil, we'll talk about, we're going to build on these things. And we're taking the name of the God, of our Lord God, which is always providing good for us, then is that not really leading to a house divided? And this scripture says it will not stand. And we know God's kingdom's going to stand because it is not a house divided. It is a house only about blessing and doing good for us. Build on this a minute. John 10:10 and 11. I want to read both of these. Jesus says, "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy." So, my theology, very simple. Good God, bad devil, to steal, to kill, and destroy. But remember the word in there, the thief comes only to do that. Now, if he's only doing that, do you think he's going to line up with God on anything? No, that would be a house divided again. Jesus says, "I came that they may," talking about us, "may have life and have it abundantly." The abundance of the goodness of God. You know, I think about Psalm 23. "Surely His goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of my life." That's where we are living from. That's who we're giving thanks to. Not for evil things, but for good things. Otherwise, we would be splitting loyalties. But listen to this. Verse 11, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep." Jesus laid his life down so that we don't have to have this evil stuff come upon us. How can I ever give thanks to Jesus then for evil coming upon me when He laid it down to create a redemption for you and I to walk in? That even can impact our flesh as we walk on this earth. To me, giving thanks to God for the work of the devil just makes absolutely no sense. And again, it's a house divided, but let's let Scripture, two or three more verses, confirm that. 1 John 3, verses 7 and 8. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The one who practices righteousness is righteous. We know we've been made righteous. We live the love commandment, and that's how we stay living and practicing righteousness, just as he is righteous. Then he says, the one who practices sin is of the devil. So we have a clear distinction between who we're to be and what darkness is. And then it says, the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now, when we talk about darkness, can I just remind you that Big John, the first chapter, says that the darkness could not overcome the light. Darkness could not even comprehend it. I like that translation even better. And then it says here in verse 8, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come so that we could have one of them attach itself to us and praise him. So I think we've got three good verses that lead us in a direction to say, this concept of giving thanks for the bad that comes against us is not something that we are to be doing. And so we'll begin to talk about what it means then. Again, it's a house divided, and there's just no glory that comes to the Father when we have something evil attach it to us. Now, Romans 8:28, and I want to look at three verses here and with the same kind of context. Romans 8:28, I kind of referenced earlier, but it says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So this is talking about you and I. It's not talking about people who don't believe. And it says, he causes all things to work together for good. Well, what is that good? Well, when evil comes at us, he's overcome evil, and we're to walk in his victory. Again, we're just not in a position, I don't believe, to give thanks to God for all things, where that all things means evil that comes against us. In other words, we're to give thanks for what his promises, his good promises, are coming to do for us. If I'm giving thanks to God for evil because it's come upon me, then why would I resist it? Why wouldn't I just take more of it and say there must be more good he wants to do in me? The logic is of the world, because God, the devil, doesn't want us to understand God's plan, God's who we are, our identity in him. Psalm 34, verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And you say, well, we're talking about thanksgiving. Yes, thanksgiving is the highest form of praise, I believe. But look at verse 4. Had some trouble come against him? I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So which is the psalmist giving praise for here? For what has come against him? No. For what the Lord has done in delivering him from all his fears. And notice he's talking about he's going to him, I would say, in prayer, and the Lord heard him. And that leads us into Philippians 4th chapter, verses 6 and 7. We looked at these last week, but a little different context today. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Now, let your requests be known to God. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. What was his seeking? Give me more of this darkness. I'm thanking you for this darkness that has come upon me, for this thing is afflicted. No. Do you begin to see the logic here of how the devil twists this to take the focus off of what we've already been given in Christ Jesus? And what happens when we give thanks and go before him? It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts and mind. So, why are we praying? Because we want to get rid of some darkness. To whom are we praying? The Father. To whom are we giving thanks? The Father. Why? For what the devil put on us? Or for what the Lord has provided us to overcome what the devil has tried to do to us? I think that we are are thanking him for what Jesus has done on the cross. And in no way does it have any connotation of the devil attacking us with his will. Now, I need to talk for a moment about James, first chapter. And there's some verses that I'm going to start after. I'm going to start in the middle of the chapter and then go back to the beginning, because I want to set the tone here. Verse 12, 13 of James 1 says, "Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life the Lord has promised to him. Let no one say when he's tempted." Tempted with what? Tempted with evil. I would say, take evil instead of take the blessing. So let no one say when he's tempted, "I am being tempted by God." So we're not to say that. And isn't that what we're doing? If we're ascribing to God the fact that this has come upon me, so I'm thanking you for it. We're saying, "Thank you for allowing me to be tempted by evil." Again, it just doesn't compute in my mind. It goes on to say, "Let no one say who's tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil. And he himself does not tempt anyone," and what is the context of this verse, "with evil." So pretty plain, isn't it? How could he ever want praise for this when it says this is not who he is? Go down to verse 16. "Don't be deceived, my brethren." So we've seen that theme over and over in a bunch of these verses. Why? Because that's what the devil is doing. "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above." Jesus saying, "I came to give life and it abundantly." All these good gifts that come from God. "Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." So, what is the contrast here? God gives good. Someone else is producing the evil, the darkness, the shadows, the things that don't. He's trying to keep from being having light shed upon, and that's the devil. So this whole concept, I think, he's laying forth for us. Now, let's go back to verse 2 in this same chapter of James. Because it says, "Count it all joy," or "consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials." Whoa. So why should I count joy when trials come, but we've already established the trials aren't coming from God? Good question. "Because we know this, that the testing of our faith produces endurance." So when darkness comes at us, we recognize it as darkness. We thank God for his goodness, for his promises that he's delivered us from this, and we begin to walk on those. Sometimes it may be a battle. So if we have to persevere, as we saw, then that what? That produces endurance, more endurance. And it's also going to begin to get to a point where the devil knows they don't need him attacking them because it ain't going to stick anymore. "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." Now, some translations say patience. The much better word is endurance. "And let endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." So when we give thanks to God for all the things that he's provided us to stand against the wiles of the devil, those deceits that he's coming against us as the enemy attacks, we can be joyful. And even in the midst of this trouble, this tells us we can get stronger and stronger. But what? We're not giving thanks for the attack, because we know God is taking this and he'll turn it around if we act in faith, as we're seeing here, just like we saw in Romans 28. And we'll be even stronger as we learn to persevere. The time of duration will get shorter and shorter because our faith grows, our confidence in him, his faithfulness grows. But in no way do we give thanks to God for any evil, because he's only good. There's no way it's associated with him. You know, I don't think there was even a thought in Paul's mind that this phrase could even be contemplated as being saying, give thanks to God for evil things, for using them, as has been said. You know, really, that's totally opposite from what he preached about the goodness of God and his grace to us, this free gift to us. So, in conclusion, then, I would just say this. Paul is instructing us in Ephesians 5:20, just as he did in 2 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful for what he has done, and then we can be that way even when circumstances are coming against us. Let me just close with this thought. His goodness, his mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And for that, I am most thankful. For all things, he has given us perseverance. He's given us strength to overcome, all based on the promises of his word. I trust this has blessed you today. Pray about it if you're having to unlearn some things, because I'm convinced God is good and there is no darkness that he wants to be associated with or thanks for. Bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.